I just had a short thought, gentlemen, about there is a. It's an interesting. There's various reasons why we fast on the Asobat Teves. Various reasons. And one of the famous one is, of course, because there was the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which only took place on Tisha B'Av. But in the beginning, as they conquered Yerushalayim, the first steps towards conquering and therefore destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took place on Asor B'Teves. Yes, okay, that I hear that. There's another reason as well, which is brought down in Chazal, and that's the reason of Talmai HaMelech. It was this king, this Greek king Talmai, who translated. He was very intrigued by the Torah. He was very, very intrigued about this, the Torah. He was apparently a very intelligent and very academic Gentile king. And he was very intrigued. He wanted to know what is this Torah, what is this that the Jews are so busy studying. And he wants to know, understand a bit more about it. And therefore, he realized that this is all Hebrew and this is all, he can't understand, he cannot go through it. So there was no translation. So therefore, he requested the Chachamim. He took 72 Chachamim and he asked them to translate. But he wanted it to be a genuine translation. He didn't want any censorship. Therefore, he put 72 of the greatest Talmidei Chacham, of the greatest sages, he put them in 72 different rooms in which they cannot communicate one another, unable to communicate. This was, remember, the days before text messaging. And they was unable to communicate. And in the 72, and lo and behold, they had a bit of time. They had tremendous time pressure to translate the whole Chumash, the whole Torah. And lo and behold, after a bit of time, they were able to, they came out, and they translated the Chumash exactly in the same, literally, word by word, the same translation. Even those that needed a bit of, let's call it censorship, or a bit of delicate tweaking translation. They all translate exactly the same way, literally word by word. All 72, they had exactly the same Tziat Nishmael and translated the Torah in the way that would be the most fitting for this Talmai HaMelech. He read it and he looked at it and had all 72 compared, and he was truly in awe and he was blown away by the wealth and the richness of the Torah. And this was a tremendous, tremendous nace. And it couldn't come with any complaint and aggressive complaints against the Torah, because everything made a lot of sense. And this is what happened on Asor B'Teves, on really the 8th of Teves, but we look at the 10th of Teves. Now the question is as follows, very obvious question. This was a real nace. In fact, we could really ask, why was this therefore made into a fast day? Why is this the reason for the fast day? So Talmai HaMelech wanted to translate the Torah. He got 72 people in a room and in different rooms and they translated. So what's the great tragedy about this? Surely this should be an ace. And if you understand that we celebrate on Purim, if you understand why we celebrate on Chanukah, the great miracles, the great Nisim, this should probably be a similar kind of day of rejoicing and festivity. So why is it that it's become a fast day? Why is this incident with Talmai a reason why we fast on Asor B'Teves? Questions indeed. Questions. The answer is, the obvious answer, but such an important answer. The answer is that before Talmai HaMelech, there was no translation of the Torah. There was no translation. And near time I came and he forced the Yidden to translate the Torah. The Torah had a tremendous, the Chumash, the Torah has a tremendous Kedusha. We know that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with the word, with Lashon HaKodesh. The Torah really is so incredibly pure and holy and sacred and heilig that it's because it's in Lashon HaKodesh. Once you translate it, however good your translation is, and however accurate your translation is, but you're losing a lot of it. It loses its Kedusha. Because it's merely translation. It's a copy. It's a translation. And whilst it was a requirement, but the fact that it was a translation of the Torah that lowered the Kedusha of the Torah. It decreased the Kedusha of the Torah. It took something away from the Torah. And that is what the Tainus is all about. That's why we are sad. We are sad because it took away the purity, the shine of the Torah to some extent. And that is the background of the Tainus of Asor B'Teves. When when we translate, of course, sometimes we need to translate the Torah. Of course, right? We can only learn Chumash and Gemara and everything we learn in English, and we've got to learn it in English. And there's nothing wrong with translations, but we must appreciate that it's not in its pure sense. The Kedusha really is in its pure language, and the Torah. That's how the Torah was written in Lashon HaKodesh. And if that was lost when Talma Melech was the first one to translate the Torah into Greek language. And hence, that's the background of our Sabbath. I think it's an important thing. I saw a very interesting, I went over the letters by Rav Eliashiv. Somebody printed, one of the grandsons took a lot of the letters by Rav Eliashiv, non-halachic related. Very interesting, and he published all the letters by Rav Eliashiv. It's fascinating. You can see so much of Rav Eliashiv. So Rav Eliashiv, like a few hundred letters were printed. Some of them are not so interesting, some of them are absolutely brilliant. And you can see Rav Eliashiv, it's very, very, very interesting. So one of the letters is when Rav Eliashiv was asked to give a haskama to one of the very famous translations of the Gemara, of Shas translations. So obviously Rav Eliashiv doesn't speak English, but he was asked to write a haskama, a letter of haskama. So Rav Eliashiv then writes in his letter, says that although I don't know exactly the words, but I just saw this letter, it was striking to me, because you see Rav Eliashiv writes that, of course, any translation is a bidyavet. Any translation is a bidyavet, because the Torah was written it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. We have no choice. We can only access it nowadays if we translate it. So it's the right thing, it's a proper thing, it's a good thing. And it gives a full bracha, and it gives blessings and everything. But the tone you can see that he feels that ultimately it's a shame that we need it today. It's a shame because it's not the purest Torah that we've got. And I saw that it doesn't bring Talmai, but that's exactly what we see. That when you translate something, it's not the purest. It's not the shine, and therefore. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that as an introduction. Rabbi Yisrael up to Simon Shin Lamed. We spoke yesterday about introduced the concept of the Yeledes B'Shabbos. A question I saw talking about Rav Eliashiv, Abshalom Zalman also was asked the question. This is not, perhaps it's relevant here as well, but certainly in Eretz Yisrael. A woman that is in the ninth month. We saw the Mishnah Berurah says you've got to prepare a Shabbos bag. Why do you have to prepare a Shabbos bag? It might happen to less chil Shabbos. So now the question is as follows: if somebody lives far away, Shaar Tzedek, or Beit Chaim, the main hospitals in Yerushalayim. Somebody lives not in walking distance, but further away. Is there an inyan? Should you prepare yourself, just like you need to prepare the Shabbos bag and avoid Chilul Shabbos, do you also need to move in to a location nearby the hospital in order to avoid Chilul Shabbos? Say your parents-in-law live nearby the hospital, just near Shai Tzedek. Yeah, your in-law. Do you have to move into your in-laws for Shabbos in order to avoid Chilul Shabbos? Perhaps in-laws is not the best example, because that's like a Mesiras Nefesh as well. So, if you've got the opportunity of going nearby, do you have to do that? Just as we find that it is proper to, I'm quoting the words of Mishnah Berurah, min haroi le'isha, it is proper for a woman to prepare, le'hazmin b'chol erev Shabbos, hadvorim ha'nitzrochim lo, is this perhaps also a requirement? You should try to avoid and decrease chilul Shabbos by moving into a location nearby. Imagine somebody who lives near Barnet. Yeah. You walk, or let's say that it is a closer distance. You will not have to. Somebody who lives, say you live in Hanof, and that's quite a distance, and you can move into somewhere which is a lot closer. Let's say you even have to drive, but it's going to be much less of a drive. Or let's say, or perhaps as you're saying that you live, somebody who lives mamas around the corner. And is that part of this or not? Yeah, would you? Not out of the way. Good. Okay, so Rav Eliashiv does say Nusach that it is good to do, it's a proper thing to do. Yes, perhaps if it's not much of a, it's good. But the consensus of the poskim, we certainly you don't need to do that. And the reason for that is because Then of course, once once she's realized, then of course you can be mechal Shabbos and it's perfectly in order. So that halacha that you've got to avoid it as much as possible, that does not require you to go so much out of the way. I'm using your words to actually move out of the house for a whole Shabbos. You don't have to do that much. Because remember, at the end of the day, she is a Yoledes, and it's Pekuach Nefesh, and you may be Bechal Shabbos. So you don't have to go that far to actually move out of the house. This is what Reb Shlomo Zalman says, certainly Meikir Adin. Okay, I want to just point out here this very interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch says that Yoledes, you're allowed to get a midwife ready for her. Midwife is allowed to travel from place to place. And we learned also, Madlikin Loner, you're allowed to prepare light for her. If it's a bit dark, you're allowed to light for her. And we said, even if she is blind. I want to speak a minute about that. I think we may have mentioned it previously. Even if she's blind. So, the question is, why is that so? Why is it that if she's, I understand that if she's, she's well and she can see, and I understand you have to light. It's a deraisa to light. To light is a deraisa. I understand, because additional light may be helpful. But what if she's blind? Why do you need to light the candle? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Dalet. Says Summa. Sif Katan Dalet. Avapi, although. I have to go to Sifkot and Gimel first. Im ulaylo, you're allowed to light a candle if it's night. Ve'afalpi, and although, shechavo yisei yoido is laso is lo, kol advorim anitzochim lo. Even if all our friends, the midwives, know exactly what to do when it comes to childbirth, they do not really require light. Ha'afalpi kei, nevertheless, kimlu lechachomim, the chachomim have established, d'loi, Miasve daite de ledes, the psychological well-being, the emotional comfort is only there. De ledes kshesuya b'choshech, she will not feel comfortable and at ease if it is dark. Hence, it is mutter to light a candle, even if the midwives don't really need it. For kosu betoyis shanim sheli yuma, and toyis shanim writes at the end of Masechet Yuma, the mishumachi afilu eno imeres klum, even if she doesn't request it, she doesn't say a thing. Gam achachama eno imeres klum, and the midwife doesn't actually request anything. Nami madlikin, you're still allowed to light. So even if she's not asking, nobody asks, you're allowed to light a candle. Sivkot and Dalit Mishnebura says, Summa, a blind lady, half of P, and although, Shebazilo Shaykh Taim Anal, over here, obviously, the reason of Yisuba Dait doesn't really apply. Tebelavach Yishuya Bechoshech, it's anyway dark for her, half of P Kane. Nevertheless, Miyasva Dait Bene Doluk, she will feel more comfortable if the light is on. Tekaomra Itzrichne Mide Chasye Chavoseo Vavdili. Because she thinks to herself, the Ke'amra, she says, Itzrich Nemidi, if they need anything, Chazia, Chavoseya, my friends will see the Avdin and they'll need it for me, they'll do it for me. She feels more comfortable, she may be blind, but she feels more comfortable if she knows that others can see. And therefore, you're allowed to light the candle on Shabbos. And although it's not really medically needed, nevertheless, you're allowed to do Shabbos. Yes, it's not a medical requirement, but she'll feel more comfortable if the candle is on. Okay, what does that teach us? A blind lady, you're allowed to light a candle for her. She can't see a thing. It's dark for her. From here we see that Yisuv Daita, the emotional well-being of a person, you're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos for that. Because she will feel more comfortable. If they've got lights, they'll look after me better. Psychological well-being. What are your thoughts on that?
It's only psychological well-being when they could become succumbed to the lens and not children, emotional, mental health,
right? She's saying that since there is a potentially a need for it. Yeah, okay, I suppose, yeah, if somebody's got... Yeah, that's the raya. That would be the proof. Yeah, so it's...
Even if it's not a sakana, it's just fun, right? He's saying only Barkham sakana.
Saying you can't go from here for any
right. Yeah, but you are right, Rabbi Feingold, that Lema said the Mishnah Berurah says that if the... I suppose you're right. There must be an element of zakon. If you're right, so I think we're all agreeing that if for an emotional wellness, emotional health, emotional state of somebody, you're not to mechal Shabbos only if there is an element of this may cause such stress and distress that you may end up being a zakona. What happens if a person has got tremendous phobias, and that person is really, really under tremendous distress? Would you be allowed, and something will help, what could alleviate such a tremendous stress? It's a phobia. Tremendous...
Putting music on.
Yeah, that's a good example. Very good. And without the music, that person is going on a mental... But that's a real medical diagnosed... So I think this would be... I think, please differ if I'm saying if I... I think we have probably a source in Mishnah Berurah that... I don't know what you think, that L'chol Chil Shabbos was permitted. It's not sakana. It's a tremendous. Could it a tremendous phobia? And if she's on a tremendous distress, that could lead to a danger. Really, yeah, yeah. Now I have a question over here. I must say this is that I prepared this shiur earlier, and I was learning this, and my wife was listening. And she asked me a question, I don't know the answer. She says, why can't you just lie to the lady and say that somebody put the light on? Ah, yeah, okay. I don't know the answer. Why can't you just tell the lady that, why can't you just lie to her? Why can't you just lie to her instead of doing Chil Shabbos?
She'll sense it.
Oh!
Blind people have got
extra.
I don't know.
Okay. So the question is, why can't you just lie and say, yeah, we've switched the lights on? And then you've saved yourself a Chil Shabbos. If it's just for emotional well-being, surely you could just... So you are saying that perhaps blind people might sense it. I hear that. It's true. They have got tremendous sense. I remember once interacting with a blind person, and they have a tremendous sense of their surrounding. Yeah, it's true. Yes, it was a fascinating experience. I interacted once with a bocher, a chassid bocher, and he was blind, and it's quite amazing how they can sense the surrounding around them. Learning Gemara with Braille, it's quite a thing. So it was a fascinating experience for me, really fascinating experience. And yes, it's true, they can sense, I'm talking about darkness and light, perhaps. Okay, so otherwise, perhaps they can sense it, or perhaps there is no heter to lie. It could be that there is no heter to lie. Lying is also an issa. So not sure what's. Yeah, but I think your answer might be a good answer. But so we move on. Steve Bass, Kutis Ovedes Kichovim, a goisha lady. Are you allowed to help her to give birth? If that includes Chilul Shabbos. Kutis doesn't mean kutis only, it means any goyish lady. Hein meyal denoise b'shabbos, we don't help her to give birth. Afilu b'dovosh ein b'chilul Shabbos, even if there's no chilul Shabbos involved. Why is that? Sifkot n'ches in Mishnah Berurah. Kutis ein meyal denoise afilu b'schar, even if you get paid. Paid, not paid, volunteers. You can't. The b'chol meyal den mishum eva. On weekdays, On weekdays, you'd be allowed to take a wage and be a midwife because of Eva. You can't just say to the goyim, we don't help you give birth. Here, when it comes on Shabbos, a midwife, if you want to help a goyish lady giving birth, so you must say, you can tell her, "Ein mechal Shabbos, we are only allowed to do a chilul Shabbos. We're only allowed to break our Sabbath. Kim lahu deminta shabta. We're only allowed to break the Sabbath for people who keep the Sabbath." That's how you explain to a goyish lady. Would she accept that?
Isn't that exactly what Mishnah Berurah is? Go on and say that.
It's not that our life is more. Yeah, so the Mishnah is going to say, if you can't get away with it, then if you can't get away with it, then you should take your help. You should take your help. But I understand why for some people this may be acceptable. For some ladies, they'll say, okay, I understand. You know, I don't keep the Sabbath, so, you know, that's amazing. Okay, so you're right. So if that's the case, continue the Mishnah Berurah. For Kosa Mokin Avom, the Mokin, the Ikin HaMeich, HaShemev, Gam BeHochi, Gam BeChai HaGavne, Shori Mein BeChilov. So Mishnah Berurah says, okay, you know what, if you can't get away with it, which might be the case nowadays, so fine, so you have to help her. Yes, yes, help her. You have to get help her. Nowadays, the doctors, even the most, the greatest Yerushimayim, they're not careful with that. The Meisim b'chol Shabbos, it is common practice every single Shabbos. Shinoisim kamo parsoes, they travel long distances, lerapois ob dekhovim azoles, to heal and treat goyim. V'koisvin v'soichkin samamonim, and they will write, and they'll grind herbs and medicines, be'atzmon themselves, which includes Torah transgressions, v'ein lo'ayim al ma'ashi yismichu, and there's no hetter to do so. Da'afilim neim demutel lechal Shabbos, even if we're going to say that it is permitted to chil Shabbos, b'usad rabbonon, mishum eva, that will only be for the rabbonon. Eva only allows us to do the rabbonon, p'nev de gilulim. The Gamzeinu Bo, and that itself is a bit questionable. But it is a deraisa, but certainly a Torah transgression. But also the Kulam, he certainly also Eva will only allow a rabbinical transgression, not a Torah transgression. Mechal Shabbos Gemurimim B'mezin. Those doctors who do that, they are only doing. They're doing an Issa. Hashem Yishmerenu. Hashem should help us. Now that doesn't mean I'm saying you could still get away with it. A doctor who has to see to goyim. If he does, these actions and his treatments, if he does it kalachayat, if he does it besmoil, if he does it in any irregular manner, that will still lower it to the rabbon and that will still be fine. But, pardon? Yeah, but that lemaisa is matter. He's not sure about it. He says it's questionable, but that, he says, okay, fine. Sometimes you have got to do it. Eva, you've got to do it. That is okay. The loike prima godim. But, he says, the reis is certainly not. Now, I don't know, I don't know what a doctor's on duty is, how to deal with it. Studying doctors. Has anybody else got any experience in that? The rises? Even, but yeah, if need be, do the rises. The loike Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Yeah. So perhaps there's ways. I mean, most times it's quite feasible. Perhaps. To do it in the Rabbanon way, to do it kelachiyad b'shinui or thing like that, then it's, you know, sometimes you can do it. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, it's a problem. I don't know how. Yeah, okay. Rabbi, so we continue. Siv Gemel, Yoledes, Nikes Yoledes. Let us define when is a child, When is childbirth start? So there's three categories. We know them also from Yerideh, from Ilchas, we know the same halachas also from Yerideh. So Nikras Yoledes, when is she considered Yoledes? Lechal alo Shabbos, that you're allowed to break Shabbos. When? What is the stage that you're allowed to chil Shabbos? Meshitei Shev al HaMishbar, when she is on a birth stool, when she's physically giving birth. When the dom is choices v'yoret, when she's unable to walk herself, on her arms, she cannot walk anymore. She's too weak, too much pain to start walking. When one of the three signs have started, so that's either alamashber, per stool, or dom choices. Or that she needs to be carried, then because she doesn't have too much pain. Kevin Shani Echon Elu, one of those three starts. Then Mechanan is Shabbos, allowed to chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Yisai, the poskim say that this is not true anymore nowadays, because this is only when in those days when they gave, where did they give birth in those days? At home. That's when they used to give birth at home. Nowadays, you better not wait that long. You better not wait that long. Because we, nowadays, our Noshim Tzitzkonis, they give birth in hospitals. I'm saying, hopefully. And therefore, you may not wait that long. And therefore, the halacha is you're allowed to do, the consensus of the poskim is that you may do chilul Shabbos. You may get to hospital when it's regular contractions. That's normally what when it's regular. I think there's generally the poskim say if it's regular, then one should break Shabbos and one should go to hospital. That's what the poskim say. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this is with what we're covering this evening. Just to recap, we spoke about the Summa and the aspect of Yisuvah Daita. We spoke that we don't break Shabbos for Kutis if there's a Chilul Shabbos involved. If there's Evo, you're allowed to do it the Rabbonon. The Reis Mishnebu doesn't allow. With regards to a definition of a Yoledes, three conditions, either Teshev al Mashpeh, or Dom Shoises, or Noises, Oso Ben Zeh, said that she's carried. Once one of those three signs applied, then she's considered Yoledes to do Chilul Shabbos. More on this tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoi.